Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Second hour DDC. We're live here at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena, Predators and Flames. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you at 6 o'clock. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe with you, David Poyle, in about 15 minutes. Before I tell you about the bet that was made on the Titans and the draft, which the first round will be on Thursday. Speaking of, we've got live draft coverage Thursday and Friday nights, Chase.
Yes, we do.
Did you know that?
I did.
You're on top of it.
I think I decide those things. I think that's part of my job description. Yeah.
You want to tell us about it?
Yes, we're going to be at Third and Home Thursday night, which is going to be cool. And we're doing something, you know, we've been doing the video streaming a lot for all of our shows. But at 7:30, we have to turn things over to you for Preds pregame.
Colorado.
Yes. And then we have the sounds on 94.9. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to streaming exclusively for the rest of the first round. And that's going to be cool. We're going to take a whiteboard down for TD to draw on.
Oh, he's going to do that.
Do the whiteboard Wednesday. Nice. And we're going to have Derek and Chris Sanders. Jared will anchor our coverage. So we'll be at Third and Home for that. And then Friday night, we're going to be at 312 Pizza Company and doing much of the same stuff. Yep. So we'll turn things over to you at 8:30 that night, so we'll be on a little bit longer. But going to be cool to see who's next for the two-tone blue.
And all that coverage will be presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and the Nashville Sheriff's Office. So tune in to that Thursday and Friday evening. Of course, the Predators will close out their regular season Thursday and Friday. Thursday will be in Colorado, and then Friday will be in Arizona against the Coyotes. So real quick, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Tim would like for me to pass along a message to you.
Oh, boy.
He wants you to know that there's a lot of Cardinals, Reds, and Cubs fans in Nashville as well. Take your Braves colored glasses off, please.
I'm not going to do that because my team just won the World Series.
Yeah.
When was the last time the Reds did that? Sorry, Ricky.
This is where I'm going to tweet and say bad timing, but I'm not going to delete it.
Yeah, don't
LOL.
Do that.
Bad don't timing, LOL. Like, they just won the World Series.
Cubbies in 2016.
Let's not bring that up. There's no reason to go there.
Sorry, that's bad for you. Cardinals were... When was the last time the Cardinals won? Like, 08?
No.
12?
Yeah. It's been since then.
Yeah. And then Reds.
Well.
1990.
Well, I was there. Game one. Didn't get in, but I was there. Across the street at Caddy's.
Really?
I couldn't get it. I was a poor college kid. Was that roommate.
No, that wasn't.
Reds ace. Dave Stewart, man.
Yeah, Dave Stewart.
Dave Stewart was on the mound.
That's right.
And they wanted, the prices were, and so this is 1990. We're like, we got $250 between the two of us. Back then, that's like a windfall.
Yeah, what's insane for 1990? Like now.
We waited until, we gave up at the start of the third inning, still could not get a scalper to give us a ticket under $150 a ticket. We were like never sweating it. We're like, we'll just wait. We'll miss a little bit of the game, but we will get in our money. We never did. And we were like, we're walking away. Like, you're just started the third inning. Like, really? And they would, it was unbelievable. So we watched it from Caddy's across the street.
The old riverfront.
Yep.
Wow. Well, and like I was surprised when I went to game three. I didn't have to worry about that. And then I went back for game five, and I paid less than $900.
A ticket for one ticket. But that's, you know, that's 31 years later.
Yeah, and honestly, I was, like, surprised because a lot of the prices I was seeing leading up to the game were, like, $1,200, $1,300. But when it went below $1,000, I'm like, here I have a chance to see my team clinch and win the World Series for the first time since 95. Like, okay. Like, why not?
Yeah. We had $250.
Jeez.
Between us in 1990, which I felt like that was, for us back then, poor college kids.
Cardinals were 2011.
2011, yeah.
Thank you, JoJo.
So, I don't know. Tim wanted to pass that along, though. But, yeah,
it's true.
I mean, just after they won the Braves. They just won the World Series. The trophy's here, probably not the best.
Go Braves.
Not the best timing.
So, tell us about this bet.
Okay. You want to hear it?
I do.
Someone at WinBet has placed a $500 bet on the Titans to select Kenny Pickett. He plays quarterback.
Interesting.
Potential payout is $37,500. It's making its way around Twitter right now. But someone, and I have not seen where it's been revealed who it is. I don't even know if that happens. But somebody placed a $500 bet on the Titans to draft Kenny Pickett.
This person, I'm afraid, is going to lose $500. I don't see that. I don't know if Kenny Pickett's there at 26 unless they trade up to get him.
I don't know what to expect. I was listening to Charles Robinson's a lot more tuned in. We've had a lot of draft people on, and it seems to be pretty much a reoccurring theme or a consistent theme. Nobody has a clue what's going to happen in this draft, so I'd be careful saying that because I don't. The only thing that I've seen I saw this yesterday, and I forgot who it was, but it's one of the national, very respected, well-intuned media person that said, the only thing that seems almost a foregone conclusion at this point is that Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati is going top five. And I don't remember who put that out there yesterday on Twitter, that from all the people that they've talked to. But again, everybody just keeps saying they don't have a clue what's going to happen with this
draft. Yeah, like I don't know who's going number one.
I don't know why you'd put $500 on that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a crazy bet. I think it's crazy to probably put $500 on unless you win.
Was he the best quarterback in the draft?
I mean, most people believe it's Malik Willis, but.
Yeah, which he's going to be gone probably. I mean,
maybe he is, maybe he isn't.
I do wonder. I kind of want to see it play out that they get to 26. Titans are on the clock, and you actually have choices that you have to make. Like Pickett sitting there, you know. I think I've seen, you know, Ritter will probably be there, but a lot of people have put him in the later rounds or in the second or third round, not first. But if Pickett's sitting there, and one of these receivers we've talked about, one of these offensive linemen that we've talked about, and J-Rob actually has to make a choice. Like I kind of want to see it because, like you said, I think that's what this draft is. It's just really hard to predict.
You don't seem to be – I mean, already in our conversations, you don't seem to be high at all that they're going to draft a quarterback. Why? Why would you not think they're going to draft a quarterback?
Well, I don't think they will in the first round. I've never said that they wouldn't. I just don't think it'll be the first round.
Yeah, but they don't have a second-round pick. Are you saying that there's a – doesn't feel like, because it seems like, again,
they don't have
the
a second round
is,
pick yet,
right? But then again, you hear enough people, they're like, in all their talks with front office people around the league, it's like, well, there's a lot of teams that are trying to move out of the first round. So if there's a lot of people trying to do the same thing, obviously your odds lessen. Mm-hmm. They may want to, and I would understand that, but I don't know if they can.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if that's necessarily what he would do. He may stay at 26.
Then get a late third? You're going to spend a late third on a quarterback?
No. He could trade something from next year to get back into the second round. I could totally see that happen. It depends on who's there. If there's somebody there that he wants that he thinks is going to fit, then he'll figure out a way to go get it. That's what GMs do. And we've seen J-Rob's not afraid to do that. He traded up last year in the fourth round to get a receiver that he cut. So – I mean,
who's still on the team?
Who's still on the team, but he's still cutting.
He's been thrown with Ryan Tannehill in Florida.
Yeah, well, you sure about that?
Yes, there was video of him throwing with
good.
Des
Fitzpatrick. That's good. That's good. I missed that video. I just saw the fishing stuff, so I thought
well, this
that's
was
all,
before the fishing.
Okay, I thought that's all Ryan was doing.
This was before Celsius.
I thought he was just drinking Celsius and fishing, so and spending time with family.
As somebody said yesterday on the text line, maybe A.J. Brown wasn't working out on his boat with Ryan because it was too small. Needed a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger
boat.
Well done.
I think I'll keep saying it. To me, if they're taking one, it's Desmond Ridder, and it's because of the relationship, because they know one way or the other on Desmond Ridder. I think they get – Mike Vrabel has the ability to get the goods on Ridder over anybody else, and Luke Fickell is going to give him more insight on that kid than anybody else. He's gonna look at Mike and say, yay or nay, thumbs up or thumbs down. We've all seen the GIF, right, where it starts like this and goes up, comes back in the middle, and then it goes down.
Right.
Or it can go up. So he's gonna know. He is,
but
his info is going to be better than anybody else's info.
I mean, that's the scary part on Ridder is I see, I have seen some mocks that have him in the first round, and then I've seen some that have him in the third.
Right.
And when you see that
kind of – I didn't say round.
Yeah, I mean, I know we had a guest on last week that had the Titans taking Ridder in the third round.
Jim Wyatt texted me yesterday and asked for my pick, and he does this every year. And last year I nailed it. I mean, I predicted they would take Caleb Farley, and I was right.
Yep.
I told him, I gave him my pick, and I said, I don't feel good about this. I don't have a clue what they're going to do. I really don't. I have no feel for what they're going to do. I said, I gave him my pick. It was a wide receiver.
This year?
Yes.
Me too.
You did?
Yep.
Who did you do?
Well, are we revealing it or are we going to let?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't care. I said Dotson.
Really?
Yeah.
I said Dotson.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even talk about this. So. No. I said, but I don't feel good about it. I don't know what they're going to do. Last year, I didn't really know last year. I guess I had a decent feeling about it, but it actually played out. But I didn't know, like, hey, you can put this one down, Caleb Farley. This is going to happen. I felt better about it than this year. I really don't know what they're going to do.
So we did the
same thing. We did Dotson, receiver from Penn State.
Well,
okay.
And Jimmy has an article up of the latest of the mock drafts and like all the national pundits, and it's all over the place.
Right. Again, our theme. All right, we'll come back. David Poile on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on this gorgeous Tuesday morning, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Tonight's the Predators and Flames. Final home game of the regular season. Finish up things in Colorado and Arizona on Thursday and Friday. Now joined by Preds GM David Poile. David, good morning. How you doing?
Last week of the season. Wow. Time flies when you're having a good time. Or in this case, a little bit of a pressure situation for playing after 79 games, having three games to play and still not in the playoffs yet, or having the standings determined, or who you play in the playoffs. So it's probably exactly the way the movie script was supposed to be written. But here we go tonight, biggest game of the year tonight.
No doubt about it. 2 points, and you're in. What did you learn from this Calgary team, the team that the Predators beat last week in a shootout here, a fun game? What did you see from them that fans can expect to see tonight in this matchup, which could be a first-round matchup as well?
Yeah, there's no question to me that Colorado and Calgary right now are the top teams in our conference, if you will. I think we've got some teams coming on hard like Edmonton, right now. Minnesota and St. Louis are top teams also, but they've had that consistency all year long. I think what you see is what you get. They've got a star goaltender in Markstrom. They've got a defense that has been probably a little bit underrated and is huge in terms of size, and they're also producing probably more than people thought offensively. And they have a top line that could have all three guys get 40 goals, which is amazing. So They got a little bit of everything. The power play is about the same as ours, which is one of the top power plays in the league. The penalty killing is really, really good. And there's no question, I think whoever plays these guys, it's going to be a physical series. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think we match up pretty well with them in a physical area. But I think the difference right now has just been their consistency. They're a little bit more of a veteran team than we are. Meaning they have a little bit more experience. But I like the way we played against them in both the games. One was early in the year, and the other one was, of course, last week. So I know this game means more to us than it does to them, but I think it's again a win here tonight, and playing well against them, bodes well for our chances against them if we were to match up with them in the playoffs.
You recalled Matthew Olivier from Milwaukee. Is that in anticipation of him being in the lineup tonight?
I would think so. I mean, we've only been carrying 13 forwards. We're looking for a little bit more depth. Olivier's had a hard season, a little bit injured in the training camp in the start of the year, and he ended up doing a little bit of a procedure on him. And this last month or so, he's played his best hockey of the year down in Milwaukee. And as we all know, last year he was a regular member of our team, killed penalties, played that very physical game. And I think this is also just getting geared up for the playoffs lack of a better word, I guess challenge all of our players that we need their best game every night, and we're not afraid to use, in this case now, all 14 of our forwards. So I'm pretty sure Matthew will draw into the lineup tonight.
I won't ask you about Philip Forsberg. I think Chase has trademarked that, so I don't want to
not today
get hit with a fine. So I'm going to leave that for him. I want to ask you, because the guy we talked a lot about last year and kind of coming into this season, just get your assessment going into game 80. So a full regular season almost in the books, just your assessment of how you think Elli Tolvanen has done this year.
I think it's, as I talked earlier, you just asked me how our team compared to Calgary. I think they've been more consistent in terms of their, not only their team player, but specifically their individual player. And I think we have some, younger players that have had, some ups and downs. I mean, Tolvi, we're wanting to be an offensive player. He's been given some good opportunities this year, but now his ice time has been reduced. I think any offensive player, when you discuss with them their role or their ability to produce, would always come back to, I need to have a certain amount of ice time to be able to produce. And so right now we're kind of between a rock and a hard place with Tolvi. He was in a good position in the last game playing with Ryan Johansson and Phil Tomasino and arguably our second line. But, we need to see more of him on a consistent basis. And that's why he has been, a healthy scratch in a couple of the games lately.
I wanted to ask you, because every time we bring this up or every time we're talking about maybe the, scoring is down a little bit, we get a lot of reaction from fans on our text line or calls. And I mean, you're the one to ask. You're the one to truly answer this. I don't ever really have a good answer other than he's been producing in Milwaukee, but you chose to bring up Cody Glass. We just talked about Matthew Olivier. And fans always, when we talk about somebody coming up, Rocco Grimaldi always gets brought up. Is he on the radar? Is he an option? He's, like I said, he's had a really good season in Milwaukee, but I don't really ever know how to answer it, and you're the right one to ask this question to. Is he in the plans at any point?
Well, the first part of the answer is that he's injured, and he's been injured for the last almost month and a half.
Has it been that long? Okay, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So he was playing great down there. He's over 20 goals in a relatively short period of time, half a year basically down in Milwaukee. So he was playing great, but he's been out. With a shoulder injury for like six weeks. He's
okay.
They just said he's starting to skate, and he's hoping to be able to come back for the end of the playoffs, whether it would be here or in Milwaukee. But he's still a ways away, so he's not an option, right now, and hasn't been an option for the last month or so.
That's got to be one of the easiest questions I've asked, huh? I mean, geez, that was a piece of cake. I do want to get your thoughts because, you know, we've had these, and I don't want to get you in trouble, and you can say whatever you need to say. But, again, we've had these discussions about goalie interference. And David, you're in these meetings, so that's why I'm asking you. And maybe you can just kind of lend some insight in what's being discussed. But the whole – I mean, I even tweeted it out on Sunday night. Like, I think this is goaltender interference, and I think this goal is not going to count. But then I, in the same breath, when I'm in my tweet said, but I know that I'm, you know, it's a coin flip. It's like 50-50. I truly never know what they're coming back with. And sure enough, they came back with, of course, that the goal counted. And the next thing you know, it's a 5-on-3 situation. Why do we have that mindset that call is a 50-50 call whenever I sit there and look at it and say, I don't understand how that goal can count?
Mm-hmm. Well, in our infinite wisdom to protect the goaltenders, we've brought this rule into place. I mean, basically, that's as simple as I could say it, is that we do not want people running goalies. We don't want the crease. He has a blue area that's supposed to be his area, and it's all well-intended. But now when you get to the specifics of calling it, it gets up to it. I'll use your phrase, a 50-50 situation. The people in Toronto, along with the referees, it's the same people every night that are making these calls. From that standpoint, I think we should all agree that if anybody would have the best and most consistent ability to make the right call in a consistent manner, it would be these people. When we looked at it, we felt, as you did, that this was a challengeable thing, that Middleton lost his edge and slid into Rittich, and thus he impeded his ability to stop the puck. The NHL and the referees felt that Luke Cunning's stick actually touched Middleton's skate blade, which in effect had him falling down. So in your expression of 50-50, which might also be my expression in this case, they were 100% on board that this was not goaltender interference, and Middleton's slide into the net with the actions of Cunning's stick hitting his skate. So that's their explanation, and that's their call.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, who joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. And obviously there's one goal in mind for the team to win the Stanley Cup, but you know, this is a historic year for individual accolades. Obviously, Roman in the year that he's had being over 90 points now. Duchesne and Forsberg are at 80 points and over 40 goals or at 40 goals. You have Johansson that's had more goals since he's been the most goals since he's been a Predator. So when you look at those individual performances and having so many of those accolades for the first time in franchise history, how cool is that?
It's really, really good. I mean, again, there's been so many good things about this season, especially when you look at our off season and some of the things that we did, which most of them were very unpopular with our fans, and I think people wondered about the direction of our team. But just the things that you've mentioned, in addition, UC Saros has played as inheriting the position from Pekarinen's, played as a top goaltender all year long. You get good stories of some of the younger players coming into our lineup, and scoring 24 goals and being a physical presence. You've got Tomasino, who's slowly but surely moving up the lineup. And, I think he's got 30 points, and for the amount of minutes that he's played, I think that's fantastic. So there's a lot of things to be happy with, and there's a lot of things to look forward to. So when we talk like this, you think it'll be easier to make the playoffs, but I guess that just shows you how tough this league is and how competitive it is, and how many other teams have really good players. But overall, again, knock on wood, hopefully we can make the playoffs this year tonight for sure. And I like how, what I would say, I've turned the corner from going from one of the oldest teams in the league to I believe we're the eighth youngest team in the league at the end of the game tonight, with some really good upside from almost all of our team, which is where I want to be.
With Saros, he's played 66 games this year, and I looked it up, that's the second most that Pekka ever played in his career. Pekka's most was in 11-12 when he played 73 games, which was the most by a lot. But is that something that you really think about, that you want to look at moving forward, of just the number of games, or is that just where the game has gone, that your number one goaltender is going to play anywhere from 65 to 70 games a year?
I think it's something we want to discuss in the off season about what we'll be doing with our goaltending, and what our first and our second goaltender ideally should play. Again, we went through another year where COVID was a little bit of a problem, and we had a lighter schedule because of canceled games. We got rescheduled games like in March and April, and we had a very light February because of this supposed Olympic break that never took place. So it set up for Juice to play a lot of games, and then here we are near the end of the season where we're playing 3 games in 4 nights, and that's not the most ideal situation. So again, I can't really ask more of how Juice has played, and but to your point, I think this is something which we do every year that we will address next year as we're building our lineup and thinking about our first and second goaltender and how many games they should be playing with more of an ideal situation. I think just the last thought on this is that we would end up in a normal schedule, I'd say anywhere from 15 to maybe a maximum of 20 back-to-back games. That to me feels like at a minimum, that's what the number should be for your second goaltender playing, the second half, first half of back-to-back games. And, you throw in some fatigue and other things. So I think 20 to 25 games is probably the number when we have a strong number one goalie like Juice that we'd probably like to have.
Should be a fun one tonight, David. Final home game of the regular season. Thanks for doing this as always, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much. See you tonight.
All right. That is David Poile, Predators General Manager. We'll come back and discuss this team next. You're on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Appreciate David Poile for joining us. Smashville Live is tomorrow night during the 6 o'clock hour. You can watch it on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter.
It's the last one.
Last one. Yep. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock hour. And that's brought to you by New Amsterdam, Avoca, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. So keep that in mind tomorrow night, Smashville Live, during the 6 o'clock hour. Penalty Box Radio will follow them. So a little hockey. Plenty to talk about. Because a win tonight, and they could have punched their ticket into the playoffs. It is pretty interesting. We talked about this yesterday. How many fans, who say, I don't feel like they can win, so what's the deal? Like, who cares? Just bag it and get a better draft pick. And I always say, look, you can't do that in the NHL. I mean, it's too wide open. We see craziness in the NHL all the time. Just get in and you truly never know. Now, it doesn't guarantee that it's going to be crazy. Doesn't guarantee a long run. It doesn't guarantee a surprise, round or two. But it does happen all the time in this league. It's a very hard, go do a bracket and see how far off you are. It's hard to predict. It really is. And the other part is on the business side, and for fans that say, well, I don't care about that part. Well, you should, because it affects. When we talk about Philip Forsberg and all the fans that say, just give him whatever he wants. Well, you can't give him whatever he wants, because there's this thing called, revenue, and the money has to be available, and there's a cap too, so that plays into it. But more importantly, it helps pay salaries. Mm-hmm. But the other part is this building that's now been around longer than Nissan Stadium, does it look like an old – ragged building?
No.
It's got a brand new, Fang Vision. So brand new Jumbotron that's state of the art.
They've redone the seats.
The lights. I mean, they
sound.
Sound. I mean, plus all the stuff that they've added.
Yeah.
It's a vibrant building that's occupied a lot. Sees a lot of foot traffic. And they pump the money back into it. And even if it is, and even if it is just around, just 2 games or 3 at home, two or three home games is worth millions of dollars for the organization.
Yeah.
That is vital. You should always want to be in. That's just my opinion. You don't have to agree, but I also don't have to agree with you. Like, oh, they don't stand a chance, so I'd just rather have a better draft pick.
That's just not a good way to think about it. Because here's the deal. Like, we all remember 2017, and I'm not saying this team is going to do that, but you know what? That team didn't have two 40-goal scorers. That team didn't have a defenseman that is in conversation for the Hart Trophy and pretty much a lock to win the Norris and have over 90 points. That team didn't have that. This one does. So who you never know. You know, I mean, I look at it, there's two sides of my brain, and you know, one is keeping 2017 in mind that nobody gave them a chance and they went and swept Chicago and went to the Stanley Cup final and were two wins away. And then the other...
Well, how about Montreal last year?
Montreal is another one.
Was anybody predicting them to
no.
come out of the East? I don't think so.
So, and then the other side is the first round draw is a really, really tough mountain to climb because you're going to... I heard Chris Mason say it with Robbie Rexford this morning. If you play Calgary, you know, you're going to have guys just get beat up. I mean, Calgary's just going to beat you up. That's Daryl Sutter hockey. That's what they have. It's just going to be a knockdown, drag-out series. Colorado is going to outskill you. That's what you have to overcome in the first round. But if you do that, and I like the Pacific draw a little bit more, you got the travel, but it's you match up. It's not out of the realm of possibility to think that if you get past the first round, that you could do something with that. But you got to take it one step at a time. But for those people that think, forget it, they're going to get knocked out in five games or six games or whatever, let's just get the draft pick. That's not a good way to look at life. Like, go get it. See what happens. You never know. You think you do, and when you think you have it all figured out, it shows you that you don't.
Well, let's talk about how they could do that and how they can finish strong and take that into the playoffs. They've got to get – it's really interesting when you think about how this season has played out where, you know, for the last couple of years of just get production from the big money guys, you know, that would change everything. Okay.
They did that.
Well, the production is there, and it's probably – beyond what anybody could have ever imagined, right? Like, you can see a turnaround. Mm-hmm. You could see fours. Like, if we were, you know, if we were betting on this before the season, I think for me, it would have been pretty easy to put my money on who's going to have a monster year. I would have put it on Forsberg because of the situation.
Sure.
He responds. This is a huge season for him. We all know what's lurking. So he responds. That's probably the easy one to predict. That I think it was going to be 40 goals. I don't know if I'm willing to go there or if I would have gone there, but I would have said, hey, he's going to have a big year. Okay. What do you think we would have said about Duchesne? Bounce back? Yeah, sure. There was nowhere to go but up.
Right.
What do you have, 13 points last year? I know it was a
13 goals.
19 point, was it?
Yeah.
19 point something. It was
yeah.
really, really low. We know it was a shortened season. It wasn't
he missed
82.
A lot of time.
So, and he, by the way, I think he had two goals in the final game of the regular season here against Carolina. But anyway, bounce back, yes. Better, yes. 41 goals. There's no way we would have fielded a call or a text that would have predicted Matt Duchesne would be 40 or more goals this season. There's no one that would have said that.
Well, let me take that a step further.
They've gotten that no one would have ever predicted.
But they got something. They not only did they get that, but they got Johansson.
Between
the two guys,
24 goals.
The two $8 million players that were unprotected and left for Seattle, you had 65 goals and 121 points between those two. And I said at the beginning of the season, if you get what you're supposed to get out of Duchesne and Johansson, you're making the playoffs. And I think I said you might be in contention for the Central. That was a little wrong. But 65 goals and 121 points, between Johansson and Duchesne, and then you add Yossi, and then you add Forsberg, and then you add Granlund, and then you have Janot coming along. That's where you're at this point.
I was right. Duchesne had 13 last year.
It was 13 points.
13 points.
Wow. Okay. Well,
six goals, seven assists.
He improved. He improved.
Now that was only 34 games.
Yeah, but still, that's not very good.
The point being, no one would have predicted that. Roman Yossi, you can always say Roman Yossi's going to have a great year. You could even say Roman Yossi's going to be in the finalists for a Norris. Okay, you can say all that. But going where nobody's gone in three-plus decades, having over 90 points on the season, again, I'm not sure anybody would have gone there.
Yeah.
So they're getting all this, but yet here we are sitting here talking about they're still fighting and scratching for their playoff lives. And I think we can say they're going to get in.
They're going to get in.
But
I want to see something tonight, and I'm curious of this move with Olivier being called up. I know what you're thinking and what you want them to do. I want them to do the same thing.
Okay, well, let's talk about it on the other side to close out hour number two here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll give away Bon Jovi tickets here to Bridgestone Arena before we get out of here today. So you brought up Olivier.
Yep.
So you go where you're going to go, and then
I think we're on the same page. I would put the original herd together tonight and move Janot up. Put Janot on the second line. Put the original herd, see what they can do. You're obviously wanting to test physicality against Calgary because that's what you're going to need. Olivier brings that to the lineup. And then see what Janot can do, you know, playing with which he has some, but play with the second line. That's what I would do.
Who's coming out of the lineup?
Let's see. Did they the Sunday they played Luff?
Nope.
Or was it Saturday? He played a game this weekend.
Nope. McCarron was in.
Oh, McCarron was in.
McCarron was back after missing eight games.
It maybe Tolvanen again.
Tolvanen was out Saturday.
Then who am I
against
missing?
Tampa?
Who am I missing?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Somebody's got to come out. So, I mean, I would think that Tolvanen could be a likely suspect.
Yeah.
Cunning has been playing on the fourth line with Cousins. I mean, you know, look, I've been saying this again. They're smarter than me. Look, they've got a better grasp of things. But I've been bringing this up for probably 3 weeks about Janot on the second line. If it was me, I would have.
I would take Tolvanen back out.
Janot on the second line. And, yeah, put Olivier in Janot's place.
Yep, and put Janot with Johansson and Tomasino.
I would keep I've been saying Janot and Tomasino on the second line.
Yep, that's what I would do.
But somebody's got to come out.
Tolvanen comes out.
I just get the feeling just like they're reluctant to move Janot, I get the feeling they're reluctant to take Tolvanen out of the lineup. That's what it feels like.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're reluctant because they've done it.
They just did it for a game.
Yeah, but they've done it. It's not the first time they've done that. They've done that a couple of times lately. So I would do that. Let's see. Last week against the Flames, Tolvanen was on the fourth line. McCarron obviously was not available, so McCarron's in for Glass.
I mean, Tolvanen's played 74 games this year.
Yeah. I would take him.
So it's not like he's barely been out of the lineup.
But he's the one because I wouldn't necessarily – I don't know what you get necessarily putting him on the fourth line, even though he's played a lot of fourth lines. You keep Cousins and Cunning down on the fourth line. You put Tomasino and Janot with Johansson and then Olivier in with the original herd. If I was the coach, that's what I would do.
Well, I can't imagine that they're going to bring up Olivier, who's, you know, and stick him on the second line.
He's in for somebody.
It makes sense, but you could also pull Cunning back up, which they've had no problem playing Cunning in the top six all year, and you could, you know, put Olivier on the fourth line.
Well, do you think it's possible that Cunning or Cousins is the one that comes out?
Probably not, no.
So to me, I mean, just playing the numbers game, it's...
Yeah, no, it's I understand, but I'm saying they also have barely done it. I mean, like, yeah. I said, he's played 74 games.
But I took from David Poile, sounds like Olivier's in.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to need, going back to the conversation, they're going to have to go back to, we talked about it so much, they were getting the secondary scoring because they're getting it from their top guns, right? They're getting it from, the production is there from Johansson, the production is there from Duchesne, the production is there from Forsberg, the production is there from Josi. But then where else is it coming from? Trennan, you know, the third line has gone really, really quiet.
It's dried up.
You know, Trennan's had a good season.
Sure.
Jeannot, we know, has had a great season. Says that there's nothing wrong with the season that they're putting in, but it's been altogether quiet for a good while now.
Well, Trennan's been sitting on 17 goals for a long time, and I thought, okay, he was on the path to hit 20. That you're going to have two guys from that line,
hit and he 20. Still could.
He could, yeah. He obviously could. He could have a hat trick tonight. You got three games to do it in, but you know, Jeannot is one away from 25, which, okay, maybe that happens.
Well, I really thought he had a real shot, and he still does.
Trennan
of
has
catching
not,
Forsberg, but it's gone.
It's been a month since Trennan scored a goal against Philadelphia on the 27th. He actually had two goals that night.
They're going to have to get. Looks like, I think Hines may have said it is indeed Tolvanen. Yeah, he said after morning skate.
Okay.
So not surprised.
No, because, and it's the perfect time to do it because you're likely to play Calgary in the first round. You know you're going to have to be more physical. See what Olivier's got.
So it looks like Hines said it shortly after our interview with David Poile.
Okay.
After morning skate. It's about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's a smart move. Just see what you can do from a physicality standpoint with Olivier in the lineup. Now we'll see if he listens to us and puts Jeannot on the second line with Tomasino. But
looks like Saros will be back in there, so he will get the start tonight against Calgary. So there you go. The mystery has been solved. John Hines putting that out there this morning after skate about 15, 20 minutes ago. So it indeed. So that'll be his second time in three games out of the lineup.
Yep.
Now we'll see how he responds to that, and we'll see how if he gets back in the lineup.
Sure. Well, I mean, could this be a Fabbro situation
like
last year?
That's where I was going. I mean, I don't know. Could be. Depends on how Olivier plays. Depends on how these last three games play out.
And it's not that Tolvanen has played bad. He just hasn't played the way that you need him to play. He hasn't scored goals.
Well, I mean, he's played
well. The
other part has been fine.
It's exactly. Just, it's just
the guy, you know, the guy was brought here to score goals. And
right.
Does he have 10? I mean, that's
– Yeah.
That's not – and when you've played 74 games, I mean, they've obviously got to have more production out of him. So, you know, we're going to find out. We're going to head down to Jacksonville to start the third hour and get a feel, you know, we've been talking about it today of how everything is all over the map. Nobody really knows what anybody's going to do, and it doesn't look like this year's got that surefire number one pick either. And so we're going to find out what the Jags are going to do. We're going to do that to kick off the third hour of the show, and we'll do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.